I like coming down here for a number of reasons, but I get around Tim and I just find myself laughing and laughing and laughing. He's just one funny guy and a great communicator, so I enjoy being with him. I enjoy being with you too. Am I coming through? Can you hear me? Well, before we get into the meat of the message, the main message, let me take a few minutes and talk about creepers and craggers. Creepers and craggers. We live in a part of New York State that is filled with orchards, apple trees. It's a big fruit area. And we have lots of creepers. And creepers look nice. You'll often see them growing up the side of a tree, an apple tree. And this time of year, at least a couple of weeks ago, they're bright red, beautiful red. And we bring in immigrants from Jamaica, Mexico, to hand prune these creepers. It's the only way to do it. There's no machine. There's nothing available. It's manpower. It's labor intensive. And you have to get in there and you have to cut off the creepers because it sounds like there's a bit of an echo. Is it my head in the bucket back there? There, if you don't mind. The creepers, what they'll do is they'll just take over a tree, and you'll see two trees standing side by side. One's just loaded with apples, and one might have two or three apples on it with a creeper going up the side of it. And the creeper will prevent the apple tree from producing fruit. So the question is, what are the creepers in your life that have to be hand-pruned? You have to go at it. You have to say, this is preventing growth. This is preventing fruit. This is stopping life from happening. If I let this, it'll take over. And all of us, including myself, have creepers trying to attach themselves to us. And there's churches covered with creepers and ministries covered with creepers and good ministries, ministries that had fruit, but all of a sudden those creepers just tend to take over. And so it's a reality. It's a reality with trees. If there's trees, there's creepers. And if there's fruitful trees, there's creepers. It's just part of it. And knowing that is a fact of life, knowing that somebody has to get in there and cut them off, is just a normal part of an orchard. It's just a normal part of that kind of tree. Second thing is craggers, and I was shocked when I first saw this. I looked out my office window one day, and I happened to notice that the apple tree in the yard was covered with rust-red apples. Here it is, dead of winter, snow piled up all around. Everything is covered in snow, and some of the apples had snow on the apples. And they're hanging on. And the sleet and the wind and the snow, and we have serious winters up there. And all this winter would hit those apples and they would not fall off. Hang on there all winter long. We call them craggers. On the bottom of my hill where I live, there's craggers right now. They're rotten apples. They're not edible. They've had frost hit them already. They're an odd color red. And it doesn't matter what hits them, they will not fall off. Until life comes up through the root system. And life will go up through the trunk. And life will go out through a branch. And the moment that life hits the stem, it falls off. Wind, sleet, and snow can't take it off. But a little bit of life just touching the stem and the thing will fall off. And the only thing I know is the craggers in my life, and this is the honest truth, I plead and I pray and I ask God, help me with this, help me with the craggers in my life, and in his way, in a way that I can't take any credit for, it's not pulling myself up by my bootstrap, it's somehow getting in a meeting, it's getting to an altar, it's getting around someone who's got grace, and something will happen, and the Lord will cause life to come up through me, and when it touches the stem, it just falls off.
And you
say, man, that was easy. There's something about life. If we can get some life flowing, it takes care of everything else. Amen? Creepers and craggers. In the New Testament, there's at least two Greek words for the word filled. One, Jesus used the word filled when he went to this feast and at the temple, and they had this tradition of hauling water and pouring it out into these stone jars, and I forget how many firkins full of these, you know, each stone jar held so many firkins of water. And when they filled that jar to the brim, right up to the lip, there's a Greek word for that word filled. Then there's another Greek word when someone is momentarily inspired, it says that they were filled. And there's two words. So let's take a look at these two words, and we'll track the one because it's the one I'm interested in right now. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to track Luke, and we're going to go into Acts. But it's good if you can see it with your own eyes. Luke chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. And it's talking about John the Baptist's mom. And she has this experience. Verses 41 and 42, and it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and spoke out with a loud voice. So with the two Greek words we got to work with, it's not the one that talks about replete, filled up to the brim. That's not the word. It's actually the word inspired. Supplied with momentarily. She's imbued. She's inspired for the moment. Verse 67 in the same chapter, Zacharias, who's John's dad, says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. Then we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Most familiar verse. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke. So we're seeing a pattern here. We got three examples of someone momentarily inspired by the Spirit, and they spoke. Elizabeth spoke, Zacharias spoke, and these people, they spoke prophetically. They spoke proclamations, and they spoke in tongues. And it's the way the Holy Spirit works, is this momentary supplying, a momentary inspiration, that you feel this rush of something, and you follow it because it feels good. You follow it because you want to see what's going to happen. You follow it because it feels so right. And it's the flush of your heart, and you find yourself, when the Spirit does this, you speak. Almost everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you will be through your mouth. Almost everything. He wants to move through your mouth. He wants to inspire you to speak. Whether it's to preach, pray, or prophesy, or proclaim. He wants to use your mouth. Now let's watch this. Acts 2:4, that's Pentecost, that's the day the church is born, that's a huge, huge event in our history. But then Acts 4:8 says, Peter, this is his first sermon, was filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said unto them. He's preaching to the masses. So now we have people who are prophesying, we got people who are proclaiming, we got people speaking in tongues, at a moment of being filled, and now he's preaching by the Holy Spirit for a moment. And he's filled with the Spirit, and he preached, he said unto them. And if you look at that sermon, it's really not that great of a sermon. No jokes, no introduction, no illustrations, no practical applications, all the things that they say we should put in sermons, none of it's there, because what was really needed in that moment were spirit-filled words that would change the life of thousands of people. And at least 3,000 responded to this message, this homely, simple message, because it was born of the Spirit, it came from the Spirit, and he opened his mouth, and the Holy Spirit spoke through him. He was filled. Now, Pentecostal preachers will often tell you, okay, Acts 2, they're filled with the Spirit. Peter was there. He was with the group of 120 people. And he was filled with the Spirit, Acts 2, 4. Now he's being filled with the Spirit again in 4, 8. Then in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So they're saying that, well, that's interesting. Peter's getting baptized in the Spirit again. Because we often use the word filled and baptized in the Spirit interchangeably. And so we created a theology, a handy theology, especially when we wanted refreshing meetings and we wanted revival meetings. We want people who are on fire to get back on fire again. We want people who are hot for the things of the gift to get hot for the things of gifts again. People who are open to the Holy Spirit 3 or 4 years ago, you want that for them again. And so we created this theology that says that there's a being baptized in Spirit is not a one-time experience, but it's something that can happen again and again and again. But that's not what this is saying. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit one time. I've been filled with the Spirit countless times. I've been momentarily inspired by it. Momentarily, I had a flush of life coming out of me, and I yielded, and he spoke. And that's normal. That's what he wants to do. In the Bible school where I went, they wanted to get people to come to the altar. They wanted the young people to get a fresh touch from God. And so my pastor, he said, you need to come and be refilled. And he went through these same verses. You need to come and be refilled because there's subsequent baptisms of the Spirit, and you need to be refilled. And he said, because you leaked. I remember thinking, we leaked? We leaked? And yes, we leaked. Yes, we all leaked. That's why you need to come to the front. Just so you know where I stand, we don't leak. You don't leak. He's not liquid and he's not a dove. He's not a river. He's a spirit. He's a spirit. He's a person. He's a being. We don't leak beans. We don't leak the Holy Spirit. You've never leaked the Holy Spirit. No, well, with all the wear and tear and all the fuss and bother, through the course of time, you've leaked. He's evaporated. You need to be topped up. You need to be refilled. You need a fresh topping up of the Holy Spirit. And it all sounds logical, except it's not biblical. And it actually gets people pursuing the wrong thing. It's a misdirection. And have them spend their time and energy on something that won't produce a single grape. It would be cool if we did leak. If we leak spirits. I mean, we'd never have to cast out another demon. Just give it time, it'll leak. What happened to him? He leaked. He was a bad dude. He leaked all over. He's good now. I like him better now that he's leaked. Wouldn't it just make life some... Oh, give him time. He'll leak that out. Yeah, he's that way now, but he'll leak. Acts 4:31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And this became a major teaching. You can still hear it. All through Pentecostal churches, this is a major theological thing. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said, all of them? That means another Pentecost happened. The Holy Ghost came in the room and came down and refilled them all. But that's not what happened. What happened was he come out. He was in there. See, what I want people to do is not seek a second experience. I want them to use the experience they already have. You'll never seek another experience if you just use what you have, if you just let them out. And I'll just say this, I'll keep moving. Most of us, what we're lacking is context. Most of us are just surrounded by church people. People we know. Not everyone we even like. It's a funny thing. We could take someone from a pew who's not doing anything. Not leaking or anything. We can put a passport in their hand, take them down to Guatemala, and they come home absolutely over the moon saying, you wouldn't believe it. God used me. I got down there. I didn't know anybody. That's an advantage. I didn't know anybody. No one knew me. There was needs. There were kids. There were poor people. We got some direction. They gave us some direction and told us to get out and lay hands on people. And they come back absolutely refreshed, absolutely edified, because they're placed in the context of need. And it happens all the time. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's necessary. It's better than nothing. Except it can happen here. It can happen here tomorrow. I remember going through a time in the church that I was in where I was a young disciple and not pastoring yet. And I was bored out of my skull with church. I could hardly tolerate it. And I told the Lord that. I said, Lord, I'm just so bored. I get nothing out of it. It's just so hard to go to church. What would you say to me? What would you do in me that would change that? What would you do in me that... I need perspective. I need something. I need you to do something because I'm bored with this whole thing. And he began to show me that I wasn't to go to church to get. That I was to go to church to give. And that I needed to find someone each morning to give to. And give out of the abundance of my heart. Give out of something that he gave me and give people time and attention. Well, it was a game changer. I wasn't expecting it to be so refreshing. I wasn't expecting it to add so much life to my life. But I'd go to church and I'd look around and say, okay, Lord, who can I give to? And so I just became intentional about it. It was like it was my business to go up and say, how you doing? And engage people and talk with people. I found out all kinds of stuff. I found out that Richard was bored with church too. His wife was at the front flailing her arms and speaking in tongues, and he was at the back with his arms crossed, totally indifferent. He's thinking sports. He's thinking something other. He doesn't want to be there. So I said, well, Richard, why don't we meet for lunch outside this place? And so we worked it out, and we both worked in the same general area, and so we met for lunch. And I didn't know anything about Richard. I didn't like Richard. I didn't know him. So, Richard, what are you interested in? We just got talking. Come to find out, he's into dog sledding. I don't know anybody who dog sleds. So he's telling me about, I'm learning about dog sledding. And next thing you know, Richard comes alive, and he's animated and talking about what he loves. And from that time on, I could never walk in the church without seeing Richard, and he would just light up. He was just glad to be there. And not only after I showed him interest, showed interest in what he became interested in what I was interested in. And so next thing you know, iron sharpens iron. Richard's looking forward to church. I'm looking forward to church because he's there. And then there's Joe. And Joe's about this tall, little Ukrainian guy, and I can't understand a word he says. He's speaking English, but I don't understand, and he swears. And so he's speaking English, and it's just mixed with words he's picked up, and Joe's just a little hot-tempered, red-faced guy, and I don't understand them. And Tina, his wife, is even smaller than he is. And Tina, I understand, but I wish I hadn't. She just tells you, just point blank. You just feel like every time you're with Tina, she shoots you with something. And she just tells you off and tells you things about it. She called me lazy, and I said, why do you say that I'm lazy? She said, because you're just at your books and you're just studying. She said, we have hay to get in. How come you're not coming and helping us with our hay? And she's all offended and calling me lazy. I didn't even know they had a farm. I didn't know anything about them. So I'm not lazy. I'm studying. I'm preparing to be, well, if you're preparing to be a minister, how come you're not helping us get our hay in? And I realized this thing with hay is not about hay. It's about incredible pressure that these two people are under. Because, there's with seasons, with everything. I mean, the season is now for hay. You got unripen, ripen, and rotten. So now is the time. You got to get the hay in. They have no help. Their kids have all grown up and moved away. And I understand why now, after you get around them and they just complain. And he's just talking a mile a minute. I don't understand anything he's saying. And so I found myself. I couldn't believe it because I had helped my grandfather. I'd done hay when, I just wanted to be like with one of the men and I wanted to see if I can do it. And I wanted to be included. They didn't even have to pay me. I just wanted to be out there. And so I'd get in on doing the hay, but I found out it's just hard work. No matter how you cut it, it's just hard work. This is hay the old-fashioned way. And so I found myself saying, I couldn't believe it, that I said, I'll be out tomorrow morning to help you with your hay. And I don't even really like them. So I go out, and the first thing that surprised me is how beautiful their farm is. I mean, it is put together. It's beautiful. It's not just handsome. It's just solid, just really well built. And they came to where I grew up in Canada. They came there with nothing. So now I'm looking at this farm, this whole farm that Joe built. Joe's got something under the hood. I didn't know he could do this. He's got this amazing farm, and he came here with nothing. So Joe's got something. I just can't understand what he's saying. And then It got funny. Tina drove the tractor right in the side of the barn. The wheels went right through the boards. It was just a good way to start the day. It was just funny. I'd never seen that before other than in cartoons, and I'm seeing it for real life, and this is fun. And he's swearing. I know he's swearing. I don't even know what he's saying, but I know that guy is swearing. Joe's going off. He's going off at Tina. Tina's all upset. We help with hay, and then comes lunch. And they brought me under this grape arbor, and they had this picnic table, and they brought out food I'd never seen before, food I'd never tasted before. And it was over lunch that they told me their story, how they fled communist Ukraine, packed their kids up and fled at night and crossed borders and swamps and hills and came to Canada with nothing. My respect level is going up. I realize this is really an amazing story. Joe really doesn't know the Lord, but he's with Tina and he's in church. And now I understand something about why he is the way he is. And so I become compassionate. I want to see him come to know the Lord. And so I start trying to help him do that. And he just becomes putty in my hands because I helped him with hay. And I'm eating food, and I'm tasting things, and I'm sitting under a grape arbor around a beautiful farm, and I'm starting to really like these people. And so the next time I go to church, guess what? I'm excited about going to church because Joe and Tina are there. And I just went through the church that way, and it changed it for me. I just started giving time and attention and myself, and next thing you know, I'm loving church, and I'm loving our church, and I'm loving Joe, and I'm loving Tina. Not knowing that the Lord would give me the Ukraine as one of the primary countries of my heart, and I can go anywhere in the Ukraine to this day. I can go from top to bottom, and it's the same food, it's the same arbors, it's the same people. I know something of them, and I love them because God put a love on my heart for this Ukrainian couple. It makes me wonder if I hadn't hauled hay for a few days, if that would have happened. But it just changed things. I don't know how I got on that.
That was good.
We get bored. But, you know, you won't get bored if you've got something to give away. And if you go in and into any situation, and situations you don't like, situations you feel out of your element, you're over your head, and you say, and I say this, I do this all the time. I say, I am baptized in the Holy Spirit for moments just like this. I've got a game changer on the inside of me. I got someone who can change today. I was in a Bible school that was dysfunctional. It wasn't working. It just wasn't working. It was flatline. And I got pressing into God for our school. And would you know it, just like when you read in the Bible when they're at the temple and they're stuck in this dilemma, the Holy Spirit would speak through some young guy and it would change everything. Because perspective is everything. Well, God used me. I remember one time I tilted my head back and I let out a word. And it wasn't even a fancy word, a clever word, and a really well put together word. But you know what? It changed the room. It changed the environment of the class. The teacher dropped to his knees. And I didn't know it, but he was going through a major, major problem. And it spoke exactly what he needed. He come up out of that, and he became like another man. He ministered to us. He taught differently. And it took the class to another level. All God needed is one young person who would be momentarily filled with the Spirit, and it would change everything. And God wants us to do it. We're missing context. If we get out where there's needs, but we can do it here. We can do it here. We can do it here Sunday by Sunday. But we have to be in a place where there's needs. And then we let the Holy Spirit flow through us. In Acts 4:31, Acts 13:19, it just keeps going. They're filled with the Spirit. And so with my whole life, my quest, the thing that I'm working through, even to this day, it's a lifetime commitment to this thing. I'm learning how to let the Holy Spirit out. I don't need him to come back in again. I just need to let him out. And he wants to come out through my mouth. He wants to come out in ordinary circumstances. He wants to come out in so many ways. And there's so many different levels that he can come out. People, you know, I was talking to this lady on the phone. And she was, we're talking about something. And she just admitted that she was having a really lousy day. One of her kids had just lost a very expensive pair of glasses. He'd gotten his prescription and he lost them. And she was just busted up over that, heavy, frustrated by it. And she said, I'm just upset that he lost it. And I said, Lord, where are the glasses? And he said, they're in the couch. So I said, well, the glasses are in the couch. And so she said, well, wait a minute. And she went in the couch and she came out and she said, I just can't believe that. That's where they were. It just freed her up. Now you could say, well, Penn, that's an amazing gift. That wasn't a gift. That was an answer to prayer. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. You can do that. I just take whatever comes. See, if we, as soon as a negative thing comes, we start feeling, what have I done wrong? Did I have my devotions this week? Did you remember to tithe? And I mean, we go through all the stuff. Next thing you know, we become distracted. Matt's having a good time. We become distracted. But everything that hits you, everything that happens to you gets exciting when you're filled with the Spirit, when that potential is within inside of you. I took a group of guys that I was discipling. These guys were just brand new, right out of the box. Very, very exciting group of guys. And I was invited to speak somewhere, so I told them, I'm going on this weekend thing, come away. And they packed the car out, and we had a guy trip. And it was just a lot of fun. We just ate our way through two or three different states. And so as we're coming home, as we're getting closer to home, it's snowing. And snow is starting to accumulate, and so you get a little anxious. You want to get home before it really starts coming down. And so we'd stopped at this place for some coffee and went into this restaurant. And we come out to the car, and we're all standing around the car waiting to dive in. And the guy can't find the keys. he can't find the keys. And so we start tamping around the snow with our feet, and several of the guys ran back in the restaurant and climbed under the booth we're in and looking around, asking the waitress if she'd seen our keys. And we don't have any keys, and it's getting dark. It's snow starting to accumulate, and we need to get home. And we stand there, and we've got nothing. I said, okay, guys, let's group up. I formed a huddle there in the parking lot, and I said, Lord, where are the keys? And just like that, he said, they're in the garbage pail. I said, guys, they're in the garbage pail. We all ran over there like kids, got a big garbage pail, took the lid off of it, dumped all the contents out into the lid, and we looked, and we're going through it, and there's no keys. And they look at me, because they're new disciples. And I'm the pastor. I'm the man of God. They look at me, and I said, they're there. One guy shook a cup, and out came the keys. Wow. We danced. We hooted and laughed and slapped our thighs. We had a ball. It was just a hallelujah breakdown right there in that truck stop. It was just a great, great moment. Well, was that a gift of the Spirit? No. It was an answer to prayer. And it's the most basic thing of being filled with the Spirit. You pray and God speaks to you. It's the most basic thing. Then there's levels to that that just go on and on and on. Then you read stuff like what Samuel was doing. The high-end stuff where he'd say, you're going to meet these group of guys. They're going to give you a loaf of bread. They're going to, here's what's going to happen. And by the way, your donkeys have been found. And I mean, he's saying things that are just so amazing. Well, we shoot ourselves a foot because we're not functioning there. But meanwhile, we're not even really functioning at the place where we ask God where the keys are. There's a whole range of this. His toolbox is amazing. His toolbox is amazing. It's not wise to compare yourself among yourself or by yourself. You just be faithful to the moment. And you take everything that happens to you, every bad thing that comes your way, you get excited and you say, I'm baptized in the Spirit for moments just like this. I've got something that can change the day. All I have to do is yield. I just have to let him out. And he wants out through our mouths. He wants you to say something. He wants you to speak up. He wants you to say what's really going on inside of you. And that's where we lose ground right there, because it takes a level of faith. It takes some risk. It takes risks to say the keys are in the garbage pail. But I was willing to take the risk. I was willing to say that because I want to get home. Did I know 100% sure that that was God? No. It was an idea. And basically, let me tell you a couple things about being filled with the Spirit. When someone comes in front of me and they sit down and I'm to minister to them, what passes through my mind right in that moment is huge. What goes through my mind for them, I'm going to bungee jump on most of it. The trouble is, if I know them, all the first thing that comes to my mind is everything I know about them. Well, they said this and they did this, and I know this needs to be addressed and that kind of stuff. I have to back off and kind of throw that stuff overboard. I have to jettison that every which way and say, I know that. I want something I don't know. I want something that I wouldn't have thought of on my own. I don't want something that I'm kind of pumping up and saying, well, I know that, and how can I make this fancy? What I do is I take what wouldn't normally be something that would pass through my mind, something I wouldn't normally have thought of. And then the moment that when they sit down, and the moment when I lay hands on them, and the moment, that's the moment. What crosses through my mind there, most generally, I go with what comes to my mind. Do I know it's God? No. Could someone do this and just make stuff up? Yes. The difference is motivation. Motivation is everything. I want to give to them. I want to improve their Christian walk. I want to help them. I want to see them go forward. It's not a case of just trying to impress them or me getting another badge on my Boy Scout sash where people think better of me. if I can keep in that vein where I want them to be blessed, I want them to be affected, I want them to be helped by this, if I can get in that vein, it's like turning on a tap, and all of a sudden the flow comes. So the trick is what goes through my mind in that moment, I go with it. So I'm standing in a subway car in New York City, and I begin talking to a guy that I don't know. I found out that he just started a brand new restaurant. And so as we're standing there, I said, "Lord, I really want to witness to this man. Give me something to say to him. I want to impact him." And so there was something he said, and then that idea came up, and it came up just as a flush of my heart, and I could choose. It's not overwhelming. I could choose to pass on it, or I could choose to say it, because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So it's not like something I have to do. It's not something I'm compelled to do. And listen, it's an idea. It's an idea. It's not words where I'm hearing something. I get an idea. So I go to work at this, and I start talking to them about a problem I perceive with what he's dealing with. And he straightened right up to listen because somebody's speaking to an issue that's on the top of his heart. And we had the most interesting engagement, an interesting conversation. Next thing you know, he's saying, "Here's my card. Next time you're in Manhattan, I want you to come and see me." Connections. It's just subway. It's just a person, someone I may or may not see again. I just want everywhere I go, in my wake, people's lives are improved. Something happens that points them to Jesus. Something that happens that convinces them that God cares about them, that he loves them. I was on a plane coming home from somewhere one time, and there was a German guy that had too much to drink. And he's getting really friendly. And he's loud. So there's a whole group of people who can hear us. And after you find out where you've been and where you're going, he says, "What do you do?" Well, I've had so many bad experiences where I'll be on a trolley car in Disneyland and engaging with a lot of people on the trolley car, and we're having this really neat back and forth thing, and someone say, "What do you do?" And I'll say, "Well, I'm a pastor," and that kills everything. They're thinking, "Have I sworn? What have I said bad?" Other people are saying, "He's a pastor," you know, all kinds of stuff. You get all kinds of reactions. And so I've learned after a while that if I want to get anywhere in this conversation, not to spill my candy in the lobby by telling them I'm a pastor. It just wrecks everything. In church, it works okay sometimes, but out there, it's just not the place to begin. So I learned to lie. And so he said, "So what do you do?" I said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "Wow, I'm a philosopher." I said, "Wow, I'm a philosopher." "You're a philosopher. What's your philosophy?" I said, "Well, what's your philosophy?" So he told me his philosophy was just a cobbled up mess of stuff with UFOs and Freud and just all this whole mess of stuff that he's telling me. And then he says, "Now, what's your philosophy?" So I told him my testimony, slowly, to the point where I told him about Jesus. And he's really listening. The hook is set. And finally he leans over, and everyone can hear it. He said, Pen, "Stop. You're blowing my mind." I said, "Good." So I stop, give him a break. So a little while later, he said, "Pen, when we land in Toronto, do you have to go somewhere? He said, I've got a lot of friends that are philosophers. They'd love to hear your philosophy. I just think wherever we go, whatever we do, we're baptized in the Spirit for moments just like this. Life gets exciting. I think Jesus must scratch his head over at the lame, boring, calculated, predictable, canned life that we live. When there's a game changer on the inside of us. And what's refreshing isn't, although tonight, by the way, was heavenly. Brother, that was God was using you. That was a really special time for me in worship. And I live for those moments. But there's something that's beyond that. And that's when momentarily I've been used by the Lord. And he's spoken through me. And he's touched through me. And he's communicated Jesus through me. I want this. I was in Jerusalem one time, and we had a free day, and so I was just wandering around the old city, and I went into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and I really, first time I ever saw it, was kind of put off by all the religiousness and burning candles and all of this, and they're convinced that it's the place where Jesus died and rose from the dead, and so they're worshiping all this stuff. But I had my camera, and I wanted to get a few shots, and so I was trying to get some different shots, and this one priest who was working, they have it all partialed off in a way where someone says, this is where the head laid, so this is, they have their little kiosk there, and this is where his right hand was, so they have a little kiosk there, and they worship, and people line up for it, and they buy candles and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'm not into any of that. I mean, it's just the furthest thing from my heart. Except I was trying to get this picture of this one monk, and he knew I was trying to get his picture, so he's dodging me. So I'm convinced I'm going to try to get. I'm going to stick with it until I get a good shot of him. And so where this thing was going back and forth, and so while I was doing this, a group of four or five young people, college age kids, young people, come up and they just stood around me and they're watching this, and one of them said, "Do you know what's going on here?" And I said, yeah. And he said, could you tell us what's happening here? So just in a, casual way, I just said this and this and this. And he says, we've never been in a church before. We don't know anything about this. Do you have time that you can talk with us? Well, for the next 2 hours, I got to talk to Jewish young people about Jesus. And the way the conversation ended was this. We had built this rapport, and we had this time, and we spent time together, and we talked. And I'll never forget this. They stood in around, and they looked, and the leader of it, he looked me in the eye, and he said, Penn, do you honestly believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And I said, yes, absolutely. Jesus is the Messiah. And there's this whole moment where they didn't resist it. They didn't push it away. They opened their heart to that possibility because someone credible was telling them that Jesus is real. I was crossing the border one night from Canada to my home. It was about midnight, and I was tired, and I just wanted to get through the border crossing, get home. I had about an hour after the border to get there. And so I pull up and settle back and give the guy my papers. And he said, what do you do here in New York? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Or I didn't lie. And I said, I'm a pastor. He said, well, I've got some questions for you. Not about this. And he gave me back my papers. He said, tell me, when do you know whether or not you go to heaven? When you die, or can you know now? This is a border guard. I just reached out to him and grabbed him by his spiritual lapels and pulled him up to me and said, you can know now. You can know right now. You can know in your booth tonight. He said, you know, my dad just passed away, and I'm standing here and I'm thinking about where he is, and I just needed to talk to somebody, and a pastor pulls up. He said, would you talk with me? He just wanted to know some things. It was just one of those moments you couldn't make up. You just couldn't make it up. It was so good. He was just so wide open. I said, Jesus, touch me. I said, Jesus is as real as I am, except you can't see him. But you can stand here in your booth, and tonight you can say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I want to be where you are now and forever. And I led him to Christ right there in the booth. And people are starting to back up behind me. Cars are starting to come. And I have to break off. So my wheels didn't even touch the ground going home that night. I just floated home. I just floated home. I'm praying for him. I'm rejoicing. I'm blessed. Next morning, I get up. I put together a packet of stuff and a Bible. And I go back to the border to find the guy. And I can't find him. I just wanted to make sure that he had a Bible and work with it. Never saw the guy again. But there's moments like this that I think God looks down on the whole thing. This is my theory. You won't find a Bible reference for this. It's like two big sheets of plywood that are laid out. And it's like the grid of this area. And there's green lights and there's red lights. And the red lights are not interested. They're so distracted. They're so focused. And maybe even a little toxic. And then there's green lights. And they're lit up. And God's just directing traffic to green lights. He's just bringing people to people that he believes in. God believed in Ananias. That he could actually go to him and say, there's a killer on Straight Street. And I've shown him your face. And I've told him your name because I believed that you'd go and talk to him. And he was just a green light, just throbbing, and he could just direct them. I just want to be directable. I just want God to say, you know, if we send someone to Penn, by the Holy Spirit, he'll communicate the things that they need. Not that he knows and not that he's got this vast, well, it's not an accumulation of stuff. It's letting him out moment by moment. And there's times I'm saying, I would never have thought of that. That was a whole new way of looking at it. And all I've done is I've been careful to write it down for the past 35 years, and it accumulates, and now it's starting to come out in books. But it's just stuff that he gave me in the moment. And I just thought, that really is from God. So as a steward, I need to keep track of it. I need to write it out. I didn't really have the discipline for that. With the discipline come out of us, I thought it was valuable. I thought it came from him. It solved something for me. This whole life of being spirit-filled is the best life. It's the most wonderful life. We've got something to give away. Amen? Yeah. So do you believe what I'm saying? I mean, do you really believe what I'm saying? So if we got two chairs and set them down here, and we put people who are in need in front of you, would you be willing to get out of the boat and say what he gives you to say? Even if it's you drawing from the Lord and saying, Lord, what would you give me to say to that person? Now, what I'd like us to do is practice this. So Mark's going to go get chairs. And I need people to practice with. The best way, and let me just say this, this is the easiest way to do prophecy that I know of. This is the easiest way. If it's just me standing here pointing people out like I did the other night or had people come up here, that's bungee jumping. That takes a lot more courage than the average person walks around with. So that's going to be a little challenging. This is easy. This is a lot easier. Okay? So you were working with me today, so why don't you come on up here? She is? Are you really? Slava Bohu. Dobly day, sister. Are you really from the Ukraine?
I was a missionary
today. Oh, wow. Isn't that great? Wow. Carrie, why don't you come on up? And thank you, Matt. Mark, there we go. And I want people that were here this morning and people here that were last night. Sister, why don't you come on up? Yeah. And it just happens to be three girls right now, but we're going to mix and match.
just to give people an opportunity with this. Now, they have nothing, and they don't know what I'm doing, and so we start all in the same place, except we have something in the Holy Spirit who wants to speak. We're not making him speak. He wants to speak. So I need some people to practice on that we can pull out. Can I just call somebody? Could I call you? Would you? Yeah. Would you come up? Yeah, come on up and get in on this. And why don't you come on up? Yeah. And our sister back here, right here. Would you? Do you mind? Yeah, I know. You'll like this. Okay. Why don't you have a seat? And can we move the chairs out where we can get around behind them? Now, what you can do is you can pull from God by prayer. And what you do is you sit there and you say, Lord, would you use this thing? Penn has no idea what he's doing. He's making this up as he goes. So he needs help. We want to see something happen. Not just for the sake of seeing something happen. We want needs to be met, right? I mean, isn't that your heart? This will not work if the motive is showmanship. And I feel a little bit like I've watched too many of those magician shows or something. But my motive is I really want to see people helped. And so you could do this and it'll bomb, except we really want you ladies blessed. Can we pray for you? Can we lay hands on you and touch you? Okay. So you pull. That means pray. You pull and you pull. By saying, Lord, use me. I want to be used by you. I want you to slip your hand in my hand. And what I do is the moment that I touch them, the moment that I get near them, the moment that I stand in front of them, I believe what passes through my mind in that moment. It's like this sanctified space or something. I don't know. I believe that if I lay hands on her, I'm not going to get a word for her. It's not going to miss. It's not like the mail's going to get misdirected. I believe it's for her. So what comes to my mind when I touch her, when I lay hands on her, I keep track of that. If I know her, I have to back up from what I know, because we can prophesy out of our perception, and it's okay. It's just not life for her. So you ready to go? All right. Are you okay with this? Good. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we bless you. We're so grateful for this time. We love what you're doing in us and to us and through us. We're so grateful. We haven't thanked you enough for the wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the person of the Holy Spirit who cares and who loves, who speaks, who knows us, who knows your heart and knows the hearts of the people in front of us. Father, speak through us by the Holy Spirit. Bless these lambs, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now when you're ready, if you want to stand behind them and lay hands on them, then speak what comes out. We just need a live mic here. Carrie? Yeah. Here you go. Praise your name, Lord. It's not going to quite reach, but maybe Tim can pull it out. Ah, here we go. Now, if you wait too long, you won't say anything. You'll talk yourself out of it. So part of the bungee jumping is you don't wait till you have the whole thing, okay? All right? A chat. Now Now what I have to do is I have to get rid of all the things you and I talked about at the end of the meeting this morning, because I don't want to prophesy what I know about you. That's integrity. Everything that God does, it starts in private and then it goes public. If it's not happening in private, it won't happen public. And your desire for worship and your love for worship, your passion for that holy experience and wanting to see other people, you're doing it in private. It's begun in private. And it's to continue there. And it will work there. And the promise is that He will, what you do in secret will be made known in public. Your Father will make it known. You don't have to make it known. You don't have to ever put yourself forward. You don't have to fill out an application and get on a worship team. The Lord knows your heart. When the time is right, He'll open the door for you. And that's the most satisfying thing in the world, because it's your Father who sees you in secret. That's worth more. That's the acceptance you really long for. It's from your Father. Amen. Do you have something? Yeah? Why don't you mic it just so that people can hear it.
The Lord says to you, am I on? In His presence is fullness of joy, and you are a dearly beloved daughter. He holds out His hands to you, and nothing does He withhold from you. And He delights in your joy in Him.
You don't want more money for yourself. You want to make a difference. You want more money to give away, more money to minister, more money to do the things that God has put in your heart to do. That's a different motive. It's not a selfish motive at all. Therefore, you can rest assured that the Lord has heard your heart. You can expect that. Thank you, Lauren. You have something, Kara? Go ahead, darling.
When I started praying, I just saw the story of Peter getting out of the boat, and I just hear the Lord saying that, like, you're entering a time when you're going to be getting out of the boat, and He's just saying to, like, just to go for it and take a risk and to step out in faith and just go ahead and step out of your comfort zone. And I just hear Him saying that, like, He's going to be there. He's not going to let you drown, that He's going to, like, He's got your back, and He's going to back you up in whatever you choose to do, and just to have courage and to have faith and step out.
Did you share something with her? Do you want to share with us, or if you can?
Olivia's had this dark cloud over her for a little while. And there's been these pinpricks that of light coming through.
That's cool.
And there's been a little bit of fear, I think, that she doesn't want to. She's afraid of a storm. But God is saying, girl, I've given you wings to go up through that cloud and soar above it. And there's such a freedom there. And she's going to do it. She's got to push through that fear. And she likes the, Livio, you like that, the light that's coming through. You like how it feels. I just sense that there's a fear of a storm that she can't handle. But God is saying, you can. I've given you these massive wings to just come right on through and be on the other side where there's a lot of light. A lot of light and a lot of strength and a lot of love.
Yeah. And wherever there's a fear that has torment, there's a lie. And if you can step back and say, what's the lie here? There's got to be a lie in here somewhere. Not only will you see the lie about you or about God or about other people, there's a lie. And once you see it, just masking it or just unmasking it, just calling it what it is really the biggest part of the battle. And so it's just a matter of going to truth and saying, this is what's true about God, this is what's true about me, this is what's true about other people, and exposing the lie for what it is. You can undo the torment in yourself. And the cool thing about this is I'm going to pray something for you. I'm going to ask the Lord to bring someone into your life who's got all the same kinds of issues, and you're actually going to go to work, because you would do it more for them than you would ever do it for yourself. And you're going to see the power and the wonder of it and how consistently it works. It's better than any other tool. It's better than anything that the world has to offer. Father, I'm asking that in these next days and weeks, I'm asking that you bring someone who's struggling into my sister's life, and she'd have compassion, and she'd see the need for what it is. She'd see behind the eyes. She'd see what's going on, and she'd speak to it. And I'm asking that you'd use her. I'm asking that you'd use her to bring liberty to those who sit in darkness. That they'd be called to the light, and the brass bars would open, and they'd come forth. They'd know that God used you. And you'd know that God used you. And the very thing that is set in your hands as a tool is not only useful for you, but it's useful for the rest of your life. You're going to help a lot of people. You got something to give away. It'll be a game changer for people. Amen? Amen. Okay. Why don't you ladies stand up? Do you mind staying up here? Can we put you to work? Would you feel comfortable praying for anybody? I'll tell you what, you don't have to, but if you step up with us and stay with us, and something comes to your heart and mind, we'll go with it, okay? All right. Yeah, do you mind coming up? And in the red? And there's no real rhyme or reason. Son, do you want to come up? Yeah? You want to come? Get in on this? We're going to cut Pastor Matt loose as well. See, there's levels to this, and what we're doing is really, really kind of down here. He's so used to this, it's kind of like up here, and that's put pressure on him. So Matt, come on up. But if you listen to the difference, it's just the detail and the revelation part of it is higher. So Matt, come on, get in on this. And whoever you touch, I want you to prophesy over. Are you guys open? So are you game for this? What you need to do is draw from Jesus. He knows you and he loves you. Say, Lord, you know me. You know what I need to hear right now. And you draw from him. They're drawn from him by saying, Lord, would you speak to this young man? What's your name?
Alex.
They're going to pray for Alex, saying, Lord, speak to Alex. They're going to be praying, saying, Lord, use me. Thread me like a needle. That's what we're going to do. Okay? Do you understand where we're going to go with this thing? So pull from heaven. Say, Lord, I need you. I don't want to hear from man. I don't want to hear flattery. I don't want to hear nice things. I want to hear your heart for me for what I need right now. And I open my heart to this. Yeah. Alex, do you want to just take your hands and just be open like that? Turn them around. There we go, son. Yep. Now, when you're ready, I want you to step up. Don't wait too long because you'll talk yourself out of it. You ready for this? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Wow, you're brave. Get right up. Ah, you know him.
I do know him.
She's going to straighten him out. Watch and see. She's going to tell you to make your bed. She's going to say all kinds.
Oh, okay. All right. God, you love my brother so much more than I do. And God, I feel like you're calling him out to be the warrior and be the leader in this generation. God, you've set him apart. And God, I thank you. God, Alex, God has set you apart for such a time as this, to lead this generation, this next generation, into a difficult time. And he's called you out to be a leader and a warrior and to stand firm in the faith. He wants you to put on that armor of God like Tim's been talking about and to step out in faith.
Jesus.
He wants you to take that leap of faith and be the warrior that he's called you to be that leader that he's called you to be. So God, I pray that you would take my brother's heart, God, and that you would mold it and that you would purge it through the flames and the fire and that it would come out as refined gold, God. I pray that you would take him and that you would be that warrior and that as he grows in you, God, that he would grow in your stature and your wisdom, God, and that your words would be honey to his lips, God.
Wow.
God, I pray that you would just make my brother the warrior that you've called him to be in that leader, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, see, that's got residue on it, eh, from the heart of God. Not only that, that's not the first time she's ever prayed for you. She prays for you. She couldn't do that without having prayed for you lots before. That's really the proof of it. That's really cool. Really cool.
Nice.
Thank you, Lord. Bless God.
Steve Dry and combines. Do you farm at all?
I work on a farm.
Okay, so what I saw was this combine in a field harvesting, okay? And you work on a farm, so you already know this, that combines can harvest more than one kind of crop, right? And so I really felt like the Lord was saying to you that you're actually going to be a person that can, in situations, you can adjust to reap harvest. Like that you can go into a situation, you're not only going to fit in one spot, you're going to actually fit in multiple places, and you're going to be able to adjust yourself to actually reap something in that moment. So you're going to, I don't know what you like to do, what environments you like to be in, or where you're at right now. I don't know if you're in school or things like that, but I just feel like the Lord is actually calling you to be courageous, like your sister's saying, actually be bold, be a warrior, actually in these different environments. And I really see something on your life that you're actually a leader for your family, and I don't know what your family situation is like, but I feel like the Lord is actually calling you into a place of authority in your family and raising you up to be an example to, are your parents here? Where are they at? Right there? Yeah, so I really feel like you're going to actually manifest something of God that your family's going to actually watch and be really excited about. And it's actually just this thing where God's actually had this in your family lineage, like that it's actually being passed down to you, and there's actually been this place where people haven't stepped into that place in your past, like your grandfather and people like that, but there's this place that you're going to actually step into that and are going to fulfill actually things that God's been wanting to do in your family for generations. So, bless Alex.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Alex, you know, when people think about their future and what they can do, many times people say, choose one, and you got to fit in the mold. You got to choose that one. That's not what the Lord's saying about you. You could have it all. You could have a dozen. You could do a dozen different things. It's not one. And so don't settle for that. Don't buy the lie that you have to choose one. And that would be frustrating for you. You've got a range of things. And that's just the way he's built you.
That's good.
So. You have something? Good girl. Let's be praying.
Alex, the Lord wants you to know that he's giving you a voice to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. And when the opportunity comes and your heart races and you know that it's the moment, just be assured that you'll have everything that you need in that moment and God will not leave you lacking.
Very good. Okay, well, let's move down the line and just let's continue with this. Alex, you want to join us? Why don't you stand up and you can pray too, okay? Just take the mic if God gives you something. It doesn't have to be big. It could be anything. But we want to see what God has for this dear lady. Can we just pray for her? Jesus, you know her. You know her need. You've seen her tears. You've seen her tears. You've heard her prayers.
Don't believe the lie that says it'll always be this way. It's not. There's life on the other side of this. It's not always going to be this way. When you conclude that it's always going to be this way, you become depressed. Mm-hmm. You feel like giving up. You feel like turning in. It's not always going to be this way. You've seen where God has brought you on the other side of it again and again and again. There's light on the other side of this. The storm will pass. It'll always, not always be this way. And you just have to say that from the beginning. You say that from this side of it. You can say there's hope. It won't always be this way.
That's good. I just saw that in this season of your life, there's been disappointment with the things in the natural. I feel like it had to do with your job. I don't know if you have a job, but I feel like it has to do with your job and the things that you work at. And there's been this disappointment and unrest in your spirit about the things in the natural. And I felt like the Lord was saying that he's actually causing you to establish something in the spiritual realm that's actually going to manifest in the natural. And so you shouldn't be discouraged about the natural right now, that you should focus on actually establishing something in your spiritual walk with him, in the level of joy that you have on a daily basis, on, you know, the level of hope that you walk in, that's actually going to then impact in the natural. So we just bless you with courage to walk through this season. We bless you with, you know, joy unspeakable and full of glory right now in Jesus' name.
Christy, as we were praying, I saw a picture of a tree next to the stream of living water, like in Psalms 1. And I saw like all these hard times, and as each hard time passed, the roots had to go deeper and deeper to find water until it became so deep that they continued to drink of the living water, and they continued to find love, and they continued to be grounded and rooted in the love and the life of Jesus Christ. And I feel like God's telling you, I know that you've gone through hard times. I know that there's a hard time right now that you're going through. But like he already said, you don't focus on what's going on in the physical world. Because all that's going on is making your roots go down deeper and go down longer to find the love and the life that God has for you. And so he's calling you out to boldness, and he's calling you out to love, and he's calling you to life abundant and life abundantly.
Amen. Alex has got something. Come on in, son. Come right around here.
This kind of builds off of what everybody else has been saying, but I saw a picture of you running a race. And you're getting really tired, and you're breathing really hard and sweating, but I just hear God saying that he's about to send you water of refreshment and renewal, and that your strength is going to be renewed, and that you're going to run faster than you have ever before.
You've said in your heart, nobody knows. Nobody knows, but the Lord just showed you tonight, he knows. He sees. He knows the reality. He knows what's going on. And he appreciates your integrity, too. There's something where you've had a choice to be honest or not, depending on the environment you're in, and you've chose to be honest, and the Lord will reward that. Come on in, guys. You want to get in on this? This is the best part. Why don't you put your hand on her head, right up here. Now, right up here. Now, watch this. Jesus is going to touch through you. You'll feel his hand come into your hand. Just let him. Kind of like there's a big reservoir of love inside of you, and I just want that to overflow down in through your arm, out through your hand, into her heart, because she needs that. You say, Lord, I let you love through me. I let you touch through me. And you get to taste it on the way through. Yeah. Actually, the Holy Spirit is all over you right now. See, you stepped into it. You made yourself available, and you're getting the taste of it yourself. That's why you feel like crying. And it's not that you're sad. You're not sad at all. It's just it feels good and different all at the same time. Now, the thing is, she feels like crying. It's all happening right now. So, and you can't make that up. It's just the Lord's presence and his touch. You feel the love of God on you. You feel his love for you. Isn't that wonderful? Do you feel something of his love tracking through you, tracing through you? Okay, you don't have to, and I'm glad you can say no, but it is happening. She's touching it. I can sense it. I see something on you. Yeah. Maybe it's somatics. Alex, you ready? She needs a word from the Lord. You ready? Father, I'm asking that you just give my brother what she needs in Jesus' name. Go for it. He's got something.
I just want you to know that God says to you that he has your back and that he's with you 100% and that he will never forsake you and that he will stand by you to the end.
Nikki, as soon as I put my hands on you, I got really excited. It's just like this flash of excitement went through me. And God's telling me that he planted so many gifts inside of you that he's calling out for now, God. He's calling out your singing. He's calling out your dancing. He's calling out your joy. He's calling out your laughter. He's calling out the fact that every time you come into the room and give someone a hug, you can make them smile. He's calling out the love inside of you that he planted there when he put love inside of you. Nikki, he's so excited for what he can do through you, and he's just waiting for you to say yes to opening up the boxes of the gifts that he has inside your heart. I'm excited right now. I'm shaking. Nikki, God planted so much inside of you, and he wants to use them so much. Your singing, your laughter, your dancing, your joy, your two boys that you're pouring into right now. He has so much that he's given you. And he wants you to use all of it, not just little bits here and there. He wants you to be able to use all of it. And he's waiting for you to say yes, that he can flow through you and reach out to so many other people.
Do you want to pray? Do you want to pray for people? If you get something, I want you to say it. Oh, she's too quick. She's not even prepared.
Okay.
She hasn't pulled yet. Somebody else have something? Do you have something for her? What passed through your heart for her? What was the idea? Can you say it? What passed through my mind was that there's been a significant disappointment, and what the Lord wants you to do is offer that up to him as a sacrifice. He just really wants you to give it to him, and he won't despise it. He just really wants you to bring that disappointment before him, lay it down as something that's meaningful and deep for you, and he will receive it as such. You just give it to the Lord. Like that.
Right before Penn said that, I saw an image of a mirror that's just been shattered. And I feel like it means that there's an image that's been shattered.
Okay.
I don't know.
Now we just let her deal with that for a minute, because she can only take in so much. A thing with a lot of this stuff that you do, you have the choice of saying it long or saying it short. I tend to go short because I don't think they can remember long. I can't remember long. But you can say it as long as you want. It's kind of like this. When prophecy is like a kernel of corn, you could deliver it on a big cob with lots of husk. And that's lots of words and lots of pictures and that kind of, you could do that, and there's a kernel of corn in there that's really from him. Or you can just, with practice and in time, you eliminate as much the husk as you can and as much as the cob you can, and you give corn. So I think just short, for me, is where that's where I feel it's more effective. She's really being touched, really being ministered to. What's happening? Okay. Yeah, she just envelop her. Can we get a couple more people to practice on? I don't want to disturb that. I just want that let that go. The gentleman with the beard, do you mind? Yeah, you're the guy with the beard. She doesn't have a beard. The reason I pick it on you, you've been here for all these meetings. I want you to get in on this. And so come right on up here. And you sit down. The moment you sit down, you say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. I want you to speak to me. I want you to lay hands on me. You draw from him. You don't have to tell him the area that you want him to speak to. You just say, Lord, I'm yours. I trust you. Can we pray for you? Yeah? Come on up. Do you want to come with him? Yeah, that's what she needs right there.
So I'm going to start out with a little bungee jumping thing here, but the last part will for sure make sense. But do you build things? Okay, so I felt like that you're a builder in the natural, but and you're actually really good at building things in the natural, and that the Lord is setting you up to become a builder in the spiritual. Like that you're actually moving in this season of your life to a spiritual dimension of building, and that actually, I say this in a positive, victorious perspective, that actually there's going to be a transition where what you're so used to is going to begin to be less and less, and this new unknown territory is actually going to be in front of you, and it's going to actually feel awkward for a little bit while you're transitioning from something that you're just so used to, and you know how to read blueprints, and you know all this stuff back here, that the Lord's to actually transition you into a new season where you actually become a builder of the house of God. And I'm not saying like the building, I'm talking about people and actually building disciples and building spiritual life into other people. Does that make sense?
Okay. Alex, do you have something? Did something cross? Why don't you start?
It was just short. All I heard was just that God has used you before and he wants to use you again.
There's a verse out of Samuel that says that those who honor him, he will honor. It really is about honor. It's a central part of the thing. You're an honorable man. You need to do the honorable thing. And he will honor you. You don't have to make room for it. You don't have to let it happen. It's the same principle of what goes up must come down. If you honor him, he will honor you. Is there any litigation in your life right now? Anything happening where you got someone who's raised up against you? Someone who's in any way? Because what crossed through my mind is whatever that is, you're going to prevail. So, no? Okay. How you doing over here? You like God ministered to you?
Yes.
Yeah. It's good. Well, we're collecting quite a team up here. We're just going to keep doing it. Let's minister to this couple here. Can we just gather around? Do you want to just gather around them right there, right where they are? Come on over. And get ready, guys. We need you to pull. It's only 8:30. It's not very late yet. Right? Is it 8:30? Get ready, and you be pulling, because what we're going to do when we're done with this couple is we're going to lease this whole team back to you, and so that they can come to whoever's here, whoever they want to, and lay hands on you and do over you what's happening over them. Is that okay? You need to pull then. Ask the Lord. Yeah.
I just hear the Lord saying that the wait is over, and that there's this new time in your life. Okay, we'll just let that go right there. So we just bless that, Lord. I just saw you as a great protector. Like this real courageous, warrior, but you know, sometimes you see in movies, like, the guy's just, like, really awesome and just kicks butt, like, you know, just straight out. I really felt like there was this thing about you that you were kind of sneaky. Like you were a warrior, but nobody knew it. It was undercover. I just bless the warrior heart in you. To be a good protector of the things that God's put around you, that God's put in your life, just to be a courageous man of God. I just bless you.
There's only one word, well, technically two. Life. And life abundantly.
Okay, well, I saw love just growing bolder and bolder and bolder and it never breaking down. And just, there's no limit to how big it can get. It's just more and more and more.
I got a line from the song Oceans by Hillsong where it says, where my feet may fail, my soul may rest in your embrace. You have to go out above the waves. You have to look at the face of Jesus. You have to look into his eyes to find the rest that your soul is longing for. And it's where your feet fails because that's when Jesus starts carrying you.
When Matt was talking about having a warrior's heart, kind of got a thought that in every battle, every side has a secret weapon. And I feel like that you two are God's secret weapon in the battle of spiritual.
It's 8:37. Can we just wade through the people that are sitting there, get everybody just to go and just pray for as many people as they want to pray for?
If that's what you want to do, yeah.
I think we could do that in short order. It's still early yet, right? It's only been 3 hours. That's nothing. We're
supposed to get good after 6 hours. Is that what I heard?
Five hours. Okay, guys, my team, come on up. Let's line up right up here. Come across here. I'd like you all to get in on this, so don't go and sit down on me. You too. See, once you've been ministered to, once you've been spoken to, I just believe there's some kind of residue that your heart's been quickened, and you should maybe minister out of that. And so that's the best thing to do. So are you ready? Why don't you all stand? Oh, stand if you want to get in on this. How about that? If you don't, just stay seated. All right? Now go ahead. When you're ready, I just want you to walk through, lay hands like we taught you to today. Lay hands on them, and just a short word. Just lay it out there, lay it into them, and then move on. You don't have to figure it out. You don't even have to know where it lands. Are you ready? Go. Those Kaufman kids, I'll tell you. They're goers. Just almost be blind. Just be blind. Just touch and let it happen.
I think that man and woman might get on the road to head home. Is that okay?
Absolutely, yeah.